This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.
We've been looking at this passage of Scripture and breaking it down at Psalms 23 to look at some of the important life application thoughts that come out of this psalm. Psalms 23 is one of the most famous passages that of Scripture, to be honest with you. It's one that even non-believers, non-Christians, most are very familiar with some of the language and the terms of this psalm 23. And like I mentioned last week, I want you to grasp this morning. Like I mentioned it, most of the time we hear this particular psalm recited at certain events or publications, or really important, a lot of times we hear it at funerals when we're talking about mourning and comfort. And I want to remind you again this morning, this Sunday's morning, that I think Psalms 23 is less about mourning and death and more about how to truly live. And you need to get that this morning and put it back, deposit that in your life. And I want to help us experience the life that this psalm offers us. When I study God's word, when I look at something that's new to me and I'm trying to look through God's word, I look for a couple things that are important to me, three things that help me look a little deeper at what is it that I'm actually reading. And there's three things that stand out to me, and I want to reiterate those like I did last week. The first thing I always want to know is, okay, I'm reading this, so who's the author? Like, who's the one person that wrote this? And if I can figure that out, it'll tell you a lot about what you're reading when you know about the person who actually wrote it. And so we know that God has inspired Scripture, and he's ultimately the author of the Bible. But he inspired men to actually pen it. And so the author of this particular psalm in Psalm 23 is this guy named David. And David is an important person in the Old Testament, an important person in Scripture. About 1,000 years before Jesus stepped on the scene, David was anointed the king over all of Israel. He's the guy who fought lions and bears and the familiar guy that we all know who beat this giant named Goliath. And he was a great, great warrior, but David was also a really good songwriter. And he penned a lot of psalms, and he has this whole book of the Bible called Psalms, 150 chapters, many of which David wrote those psalms. And he wrote them during times of conflict and times of struggle. And probably his most famous one of the 150 psalms, throughout the 150 psalms of the whole book, is this one, Psalms 23. The context is not David as a child. A lot of times we like to think David was this little kid writing this psalms as he's watching sheep out in the field. But actually what we've come to know is that David wrote this psalm later in life. He wrote this when one of his sons, Absalom, had turned against him, had revolted against him, and was after his very own dad. He tried to take over the kingdom from his dad, and so David finds himself running for his life again. And his country is now in civil war, and so it's at this time of this major stress and struggle in David's life that he writes this incredible Psalms. So we get this context in Psalms 23, and here's the simple context for us today. It's a season filled with anxiety and unknown. Unknown. Again, this week hasn't changed from last week. I don't know if you know this, it still sounds like our world today. Anxiety and unknown. It still sounds like the world we lived in, and I'm sure some of you even this week have had experienced a little bit of anxiety and a little bit of the unknown in your life. And this is the world we live in today. And in the midst of this anxiety, in the midst of this unknown, David writes this incredible Psalms in Psalms 23. So that it would lead you and me to want to know, okay, if I'm feeling anxiety and I'm feeling unknown and this psalm is for me, there has to be some sort of theme that God wants me to grasp. There has to be some purpose that God wants me to get as I read Psalms 23. And simply this, I believe this is the purpose of Psalms 23. The purpose is so that you can have strength in the midst of struggle. So that you can have strength, and it'll be on the screen for us this morning, but so that you can have some strength in the midst of struggle. We all need that in our lives. We need those strengths. And so if you're, so this morning, if your marriage is struggling, if your relationships are struggling, if your finances are struggling, your health, you're having struggles within their habits and your mind with fear and anxiety, maybe you're struggling just with the future, Psalms 23 is for you. And I think if we're all honest this morning, if every one of us were honest in the room, we could all admit that we're struggling with something. Something that we're struggling with. And so why don't we do something this morning? Why don't we open God's word together, Psalm 23. And I loved it if you were here last week. We did something that we don't normally do. But can we read this together? It was powerful in that moment. And hopefully by the end of this series, as we read this together, you're going to know Psalms 23. Here we go this morning. If you want to get your Bibles, if not, it'll be right there on the screen. Would you read it out loud with me together? The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Come on, right? That's awesome, awesome. Come on, yeah, we can give it up. That's good. What a rich, rich scripture. Six verses, but yet so much context in those six verses. We learned last week the crucial phrase that if you're taking notes, this would be a good one to get down, but we learned the crucial phrase that we all need in our lives, that we need to remind ourselves daily, and that phrase is simply this thing that David said. He said this at the very beginning, the Lord is my shepherd. David's reminding us that he had a personal relationship with God. And let me reiterate it this morning, Christian Life Center, you can have a personal relationship with God. I don't know what you've been taught. I don't know what's been modeled to you in your whole life, but I want here to tell you, Christianity is not about rules and regulations. It's not about you do this and you do that. Christianity is about a personal relationship with a God that Jesus came and died for you to have. An amazing personal relationship. The rest of Psalms 23 that we read today, so we talked about verse 1 last week, but here's what you need to understand. The rest of Psalms 23 feeds off of verse 1. So if the Lord is my shepherd, here's what he's going to do for me and for your life. It feeds right off of that. So he starts today, what we're going to talk about, he starts with verse 2. The very first thing he says, here's what my shepherd does. And he says it this way, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Now, I just want to encourage you, this makes no sense. It makes no sense. Because if I was writing this psalm, which I did not, but if I was writing this psalm, I would have put this at the very end of Psalms 23. In other words, after I've done everything that I need to do, the result of doing everything I need to do is I get to lie down and enjoy green pastures. But can I submit to you this morning that David understands something that you and I have to understand about God? And here's the phrase, if you're taking notes, here's the phrase that I want you to get this morning and what your shepherd wants for your life. Here it is. It starts with rest. It starts with rest. And this is very important because our sheep, did you notice our sheep returned this morning from last week? Our cute little sheep. They returned, they're here with us, right? Sheep are used for two different things. They really only serve two purposes that really for your life. Sheep are used, number one, for their wool, so that you can have clothes and other comforts. The other thing that sheep are used for is for their, come on, here we go, their meat. That's the two purposes that they serve. So if I was a shepherd and I had this sheep, I would know the purpose of the sheep is to have good wool and to have good meat. So David could write this particular psalm and say, okay, here it is. Here's my shepherd. My shepherd makes my wool complete and my meat strong. He could say that. And I'm able to accomplish, as the sheep, I'm able to accomplish what I am supposed to accomplish. That is my good shepherd. That's what he does. But hear me this morning. David understands something about God that we also have to understand if we're going to thrive in our world today. That if we're going to do anything significant for God, it has to come from a position of rest. It has to come from a position of fulfillment and a position of understanding the work that God has already done for us on the cross. Here, I wrote down this way this morning. We don't work for rest, we work from rest. We don't work for rest, we work from rest. It starts with rest. He starts this whole thing off with letting you know the whole success story in your life starts with rest. Because here's why it's important. This is a good one on the screen. I hope it'll make sense to you. Because we make our worst decisions when we are tired. We make our worst decisions when we are tired. We all do, right? You would have never dated that person if you weren't tired. You would have never married that person if you weren't tired. Come on. I'm just kidding. You married the right person if you're married, right? Just kidding. But it's true. You would have never maybe done that thing or said that thing if you weren't tired. When we are tired, we don't make the wisest decisions. Yet for some reason in our culture today, we thrive on just being so busy. We thrive on it, that we're almost consider it a success when we are exhausted. It's a success. We're so exhausted, and that's a sign to us that we are successful. Let me prove it to you this morning. Remember this little blimp in history called COVID-19? You remember that little blimp? You had 3 months of just being at home. Yet, you should have felt so refreshed. You had nothing to do. You just could sleep in, just enjoy your family. Yet so many people came out of that season and the first thing they said was, I'm so exhausted. In fact, I even think about that season and I get exhausted. How? We had 3 months to just rest. And you know why we were exhausted? Because we found this time that we had and we still said this, let's just find out how to be as productive as we can. Like, I'm one of those people, I found myself in my garage with this really good idea that I would epoxy my garage floor. I saw it on TV and said, this looks so easy. And what I thought was one day took 2 weeks. And I finally found myself asking, why am I doing this? This isn't fun. Why was I doing it? Because my mind, my identity comes out of my productivity. And hear me this morning, God never created our identity to come out of your productivity. Never created you that way. In fact, our identity has to come from our relationship with who God is and who we are in Him. That's your identity. So when we make it about productivity, you're working to find your identity instead of understanding that God created us to rest. And in that relationship with Him, He hasn't created us to enjoy life. He's created us to lay down in green pastures first. So what our unique mindset tells us, it tells us to act this way. I want you to think about this from the very beginning. It'll be on the screen. Check this out. Man was created on the sixth day. Man was created on the sixth day. Now, so 6 days of creation, the very last day, God creates man. So He saves the best for last, and all the men in the room say amen. All right. Actually, women were created last, so He saved the best for last. All the women say amen, right?
Come on.
So he created, man was created on the sixth day. Then, right, then God on the seventh day, it'll be on the screen here if we could keep up with me real quick. On the seventh day, God created rest. God created rest. So think about this. Man was created on the sixth day. God rested on the seventh day. So look at the last part of this statement. Therefore, the first day that man spent with God was a day of rest. Think about that. The first day that we spent with God was actually a day of rest. It shows us that the first thing that God wants for our lives is for you to experience rest. And yet, so many of us are exhausted. We are exhausted with the news. We're exhausted with the social media. We're exhausted with all the drama in our lives. We're exhausted with the hatred in people. We're exhausted with the critical spirit that's out there, and we are totally exhausted. And I believe this. I believe God has brought you to CLC this morning to say to you, I have come to provide you with some rest. To provide you with some rest. I am a good shepherd, and I will give you rest. In fact, Jesus literally says this about himself in Matthew 11. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He didn't say, "No, I'll give you a lot of work to do." He didn't say, come to me and I will give you an assignment after assignment after assignment. He didn't say, come to me and I will give you rule after rule after rule. No, he said, come to me and I will give you rest. And we've got it all wrong, and it's no wonder we're so exhausted. Can I put this on the screen for you? Christianity is not a big do. We live our lives like this, thinking that Christianity and serving God is all about what we do. Christianity is not a big do. So many people think it's all about what can you do? What can I do for God? What can I accomplish? What rule will God be happy if I follow? Christianity is not a big do. Can I tell you what Christianity is? Christianity is a big done. Christianity is a big done. The work has been finished, right? The hard part was completed on the cross. And we get to position ourselves from a place of rest. So how do we experience God's rest? Well, he tells us again. He tells it right on the screen. In Psalms 23:2, he says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. What does that mean? How do you make a sheep lie down? Like, do you, like, find some crazy chemical and put on a rag and put it on their face and they pass out? Like, that was awesome. Like, is that how you make a sheep lie down? I don't know. Maybe you do. But how do you make a sheep lie down? Parents, if you are a parent or if you've been a parent, you know the success of the day is when your kids are all asleep at the same time. And you just scream, freedom, right? Come on. And what I've learned about kids is the same thing I've learned about sheep. You can't make them do anything. So what do you do as a good parent? What do you do as a shepherd? You can't make them sleep. And how many know God's not going to take away your free will, church? He's not going to make you rest. But here's what he's going to do. He's going to provide the environment that is good for you to experience rest. So like as a good parent, we provide the environment. You make the room dark. You provide a nightlight in the room. Maybe you add some stuffed animals and you make the room quiet. Literally, my neighbors, they have an 8-month-old baby, and it's so funny. Literally, there's a sign on their front door that says, do not knock or ring the doorbell. Here's our phone number. Text us. Like, they know the value of their sanity and their child's rest. So a good parent creates environment. I remember in my grad work, in my master's degree, we had to read two books, and really they surrounded around sheep. The first book was a book called They Smell Like Sheep, but the second book was this one that's to be on the screen. It's this book, and it's simply called A Shepherd Looks at Psalms 23. A shepherd looks at Psalms 23. And this book was written by a guy by the name of Philip Keller. And he was a shepherd for many years. That was his profession. And then he goes on and he literally becomes a pastor. And he writes this book on a shepherd's perspective of Psalms 23. And he talks about this idea of making sheep lie down, making them rest. And he says there are four things that sheep need to experience true rest. Four things, and they're the same four things that you need in your life to experience God's rest. And here they are. Here's the four things he says that sheep needs to rest. Excuse me. He says, first of all, fear removed. Sheep won't rest if they are full of fear. The second thing is friction resolved. They need friction resolved. The third thing is freedom from pests. And the fourth thing that we can all agree with is food in their stomach. They need these four things that if they have these four things, they can experience true rest. And a good shepherd will provide all four of these things for the sheep. So for your life this morning, if you're going to experience God's peace and rest, you've got to have some things. And here they are, right there on the screen. Number one, we ought to have fear removed. We got to have fear removed. Have you ever noticed that these sheep, now sheep are very scared creatures. They just normally are scared creatures, right? And you know why? Because they have a lot of things that would like to kill these poor little guys, right? They would like to come after them. The wolves, the coyotes, the bears, right? And I'm looking at this and I'm like, why would you want to kill this little thing, right? I mean, look at that face. I mean, it's just so, they're just so cute. I mean, why would you want to kill that, right? But you know why there are many things that want to prey on them? Because they're easy targets. They're just easy. They don't fight back. They're pretty defenseless. They're helpless creatures. And here's who knows that best than anybody else. The sheep knows that best than anybody else. So they're always filled with fear and anxiety because at any moment behind the bush is something that wants to take them out. So what are they doing all the time? Just constantly looking. It looks up, it looks up, it looks everywhere. It's constantly looking for something. And how many know we're doing that all the time? You and I, we move around. What's going to happen, right? What's going to happen with my kids? What's going to happen with my spouse? What's going to happen with my life? What's going to happen with my money? What's going to happen with my future? What's going to happen with the election? Oh, God. What's going to happen? How's the test going to turn out? And we're looking around, and what's the future going to happen? And hear me this morning, you and I, we survive and cope on fear. And when you're coping with fear, just like sheep, we cannot sleep when you're filled with fear. So since they won't rest, and if they are filled with fear, here's what they do. The only time that sheep will fall asleep is if they notice the shepherd's on the scene. When the shepherd shows up on the scene, things change for them. When the shepherd shows up, a sheep is automatically filled with confidence that while they're sleeping, there's somebody else watching over them. Someone who will take care of them, whatever predators come their way, whatever difficulties they seem to have, that there's someone who's going to be there to watch over them. So sheep are no longer looking around at everything else, what could attack them, but they're looking at the one who can protect them. They're looking at the one who can protect them. And we can learn a lot from this in your life today because many of us have our eyes on the wrong thing. So that's why David writes this phrase in Psalms 4:8. Look what he says. I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. How many know that's a really good shepherd? That's a good shepherd. When was the last time, folks, you had just a really good, peaceful night of sleep? It was the last time that your mind and your eyes weren't roaming around And David understood that we've got to get our eyes off the problems and the worries and get them onto the shepherd. He understood that. Because here's the problem that we all face. Here's what fear really is. Fear, and it'll be on the screen, is simply the byproduct of misplaced focus. It's simply just the byproduct of misplaced focus. There are too many people filled with fear, overwhelmed, because their eyes are constantly on what's next. Their eyes and minds are constantly on when's the bottom going to fall out in my life. And here, you got to hear me, we've got a good shepherd who, by the way, writes this over your life, right? 2 Timothy, for God has not given us, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And I don't know what's overwhelming you this morning, but get your eyes on the good shepherd today, because he will absolutely protect you. He will protect you. It's when the shepherd comes in. Hear me, church. It's when the shepherd come in. It's the presence of the shepherd that resolves the fear in the sheep. And you and I need to acknowledge the presence of God is in our midst. And you will watch, when you acknowledge his presence in your life, you will watch how the fear will go away, how you will be liberated, and you will find the rest in your life that God has called you to have. Second thing, for us to have good, perfect rest, he reminds us, for sheep to actually have rest, is that friction is resolved. Now, this is crazy. How sheep, whether you realize it or not, that's why we have multiple ones up here, because sheep are social animals. Like sheep, they are always in community together. And now, that's the way that God has created you and I to be, in community, in together. Here's the problem, though. The problem with sheep is they don't always get along with their fellow sheep. You're laughing because you know. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of us, and I'm going to be pastoral for a few minutes. Hang in there. Some of us have a lot of problems with other sheep that you know in your life. Family members, friends, coworkers, church members. And here's what happens when we invite that drama into our lives. When a sheep has conflict with other sheep, while others are resting, that other sheep is up, agitated, and not experiencing true rest. And I wonder if the rest that God intended you to have has been removed from your life because the drama and negativity is overtaking you. And it looks things like, did you hear about that? Did you hear about this? They offended me. They did what to you? Well, then I'm mad too. You hurt, so I'm hurt, right? One time, the church hurt me, so I don't want anything to do with it. That pastor, that boss, that friend, that family member, that person, how many knows that. And I want everyone in the world to know about it. I want everybody to know about my hurt, my offense. I want everybody to know about my friction. And there's so much friction within the body of Christ. And I'm telling you, there has never been a time that we need to be united as a church than right now in our present time, 2024. We need to save the negativity, save the drama for somebody else. What if during this season, CLC was an example of a united church that God wanted to use to heal a divided and broken world? Like, what if we got rid of the friction? What if we just lived the way that God's called us to live? Hear me this morning. You're never going to experience rest as long as there is friction in your life. And some of you need to just let it go. Let it go. Some of you need to get off the text chat. Just get off it. Some of you need to get off the negative feed that's in your life. Turn off the social media. Here's a word for some of you. Some of you need to get off the sidelines and stop being an armchair coach and get in the game. How about we give people a little bit of grace right now? Just a little bit of grace. Like here, I told you I'm gonna be pastoral. The cancel culture in our society is the most toxic thing that we experience. This idea, right, that one person disagrees with me and we're like, well, I'm canceling them. We brought this in the church. Well, I'm canceling them. They're no longer in my community because they disagree with me. I unfriend you and I unfollow you. Where's the loyalty, church? Where is the friendships? Where is the dedication? In fact, where is I am bearing one another's burdens together? Where is that? Where's the grace? Let's choose not to follow the world in this idea, right? The cancel culture has nothing to do with the body of Christ. Absolutely. Why would we let it permeate our church, right? The church does not cancel people. We believe in people. We love people. We care for people. We reach out to people. And this is what God has called us to do. And let me add this, we surely don't cancel each other. We don't cancel each other, and we don't foster friction. You know what we do? We dispel it in the church. We don't foster it. I don't think, and I'm thankful, that Jesus doesn't unfollow you and cancel you. He believes in you, even in the midst of your daily failures. He doesn't cancel you. And so with sheep, if they're in conflict with each other, here's what they do. And this is so crazy. Here's what brings resolution. Here's what brings resolution to their conflict. The shepherd shows up. The shepherd shows up. And when the shepherd shows up, they all know this. We better behave. Come on. The shepherd shows up and they say, we better behave. He's gonna punish us if we don't. If you're a parent, if you have kids, you understand this. Many times, if you leave the room with your kids, they're fighting. They're arguing, right? And as a parent, I don't have to go into my kids. I never have in their lives. I don't have to go in and lecture them or do. All I have to do is show up and give them the dad stare. You know the dad stare, right? You remember, it looks like this. I found a meme with the dad stare right there. 33% of your job as a dad is staring at your kids like this until they act right. That's the dad stare. There's a mom stare too, but there's a dad stare. And honestly, how many know I think God in heaven looks like that at us sometimes? Like, I think God in heaven looks like, you're going to listen to that? Like, God's in heaven, like, you're going to act that way? You're going to say that? You're going to respond that way? He's giving us the dad stare from heaven. Wait, you're leaving the church? What? You're really that offended? Like, hear me this morning. We are one flock, one group, and we have way more in common than we have in differences. One flock, one group. And hear me this morning, the plan and the ploy of the enemy would be to divide us and separate us from the people who we should have each other's backs. That's his plan. He knows if I can get them separated, I've got them beaten. And maybe, church, maybe, just maybe, we need to invite the shepherd back in the midst this morning. And we invite this shepherd back into the midst, he resolves the friction. If you bite the shepherd back in the midst of your life, guess what? He resolves the conflict in your marriage. You invite the shepherd back into the midst, he resolves the conflict in your family. You invite the shepherd back into our schools, back into our jobs, back into our families, back into our church, he resolves it. Now, because you hear me this morning, it'll be on the screen. It is the presence of the shepherd that brings peace within the flock. It's the presence of the shepherd. And here's what we need in our culture today. We don't need more government involvement. We don't need more legislation. We just need the church to acknowledge and invite the presence of Jesus back in our midst. That's what we need. Because you know why? He's a good shepherd. And when he's back in our midst, when his presence is back, guess what happens? All of a sudden, selfishness is gone. Anger goes away. Racism is gone. Malice is gone. Dishonesty is gone. Because the shepherd is back in our midst. The good shepherd. We have to invite the shepherd back in our midst. Ephesians reminds us today, Paul writes it this way, for he himself is our peace, who has made two groups one. Two groups one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Listen to me, the church is one. It's not us and them. You want some good rest? Here, can I just give you some really good thought today? Remove the drama from your life. You want good rest? Remove it from your life. Get off the idea that everyone's got something wrong, and you don't. Get off the idea that everyone has wronged you, and get into the fact that there's a shepherd among you, and he wants to resolve the friction in your life. It's a good word. Third one, he tells us, if we want really good rest, is you find freedom from pest. Some of you can identify with this. Like, I can do wolves. I can do bears. I say no to bugs. Right? A spider, a gnat on me, and it gets violent very quickly. Why? Because the wolves and the bear, I can see them. How many know the bug, it can cripple me, and this is a small little thing. The problem is they are so small, and yet they can do such big damage. I just believe this. There's no way they allowed those little demons on the ark. You know what I mean? Like, they just weren't there. I grew up in Florida, and we in Florida know about bugs. Like, literally, I would tell when I was in college and these northerners would come down to Florida, I'm like, I would hear them screaming next door, and I'd laugh because I know why they're screaming. Like, the hugest roach just crawled across the floor. I would tell them, you be careful. They will carry you off in the middle of the night. I mean, there are bugs in Florida, right? And so many people are like, the glamour of the beach. If we could just, like, you all know it. You're here, some of you. You have this dream of just, I could just lay on the beach, put my toes in the sand, and it's just so relaxing, and the ocean sound, and all these things. But what people don't know is that Florida, on the beach, are these things called, it'll be on the screen, sand fleas. Welcome. True story. They're called sand fleas. And when you go to the beach, you don't just sit there, and there's no sign telling you, warning, sand fleas here. And you get there, and mostly at night, but you're sitting there thinking, this is wonderful, and all of a sudden, you're like, why am I itching everywhere? What's going on? Your body is literally being invaded by these little demons right here. Sand fleas. Hear me this morning. How many of you know it's the hidden small things that will kill you and keep you from rest? It's those hidden small things that keep you from rest. And here's what a good shepherd does, right? What a good shepherd does is they pull them together and they grab the sheep, and before the sheep go down and lay at night, they do a little examination. A good shepherd goes through the wool and they, oh, there's a tick. That doesn't belong there. Oh, well, that bug doesn't belong there. And they begin to just really take in their time and making sure that the sheep is okay. A sheep cannot experience true rest with pests. These things won't reach their backs to scratch. They need something to help relieve the pests in their lives. They have these really small arms, and there's no way they can do it. You have to have a shepherd, hit me this morning, who is interested in not just how good you are, but you have to have a shepherd who's also interested in the small things that are taking you down. You gotta have a shepherd that's interested in that. And you need to get this today. Many times the sheep, when it's time to rest, they're so tired, but they will fight off the shepherd. Don't touch me. Why are you bothering me? Right? Because they don't realize how important it is for the shepherd to evaluate the small things that are attacking its life. So because they are fighting off the shepherd, they never experience the rest that really is needed in their life. And that's why David writes this amazing psalm where he says this in 139, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns." When was the last time, church, you asked God, "Hey, God, remove the stuff out of my life"? When was the last time you asked God, "Examine my heart"? see what's inside of me. When was the last time you asked God to remove the pest from your life? You know what pests look like in our lives, right? Negative attitudes. Oh, that isn't really a bad thing. You know what pests look like in our life? Small sins, addiction, right? Those small things that nobody else sees. You know what's a little pest in our life? Ungratitude. When we lack gratefulness and gratitude. The small pest in our life, the comment here, the thought there. Hear me, the small things in your life that really have some really big consequences in your life. It was really interesting. Truth is oftentimes after the shepherd would have picked the pest off the sheep, in ancient culture, what they would do is they would take this sheep and they would literally go and dip it in oil. They would dip it in oil and get the next one and dip it in oil. That's what they do in ancient culture. Now, once it's dipped in oil, it could truly rest when it's covered in this oil. The oil would take the pests away. Can I tell you something? All throughout scriptures, the oil has always been a representation of the Holy Spirit. Always a representation of the Holy Spirit. And it shows me that in our lives, God removes things out of our lives, not to shame us, but to change us. And he removes these things in our lives. He removes it from our lives. And then guess what? He fills us with the Holy Spirit. He gives you the Holy Spirit. Why? So you can understand things like Romans chapter 8, where he says, the same Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead now lives in you. And hear me, church, that is power. So that you can understand that you have the power to overcome all the pests in your life. All those small things that are keeping you from enjoying all the things that God has for your life. Because you've got the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And you and I can experience that same freedom in our lives today. Why? So that you can experience the amazing rest that God has for your life. Let me give you the last one this morning. Last one is this. A sheep can't rest until they have food in their stomach. Now, we all get this one, amen? Come on. We know it. How many of you have had those times and those moments at night when you're like, oh, I just need a little snack to help me rest, right? And how many snackers? Any snackers in the room? Come on, you're with me, right? I just remember recently, I needed a snack, right? And I needed something sweet, and I walked in our pantry, and there stood before me were original Oreos. I don't know about you, but nobody in their right mind eats original Oreos, right? Like, you need the double stuffed, mega stuffed, chocolate dipped Oreo, right? That's a true snack. But we don't like to go to bed hungry. And you know, it's the same thing with sheep. Sheep will walk around grazing and grazing and won't rest until they're full and satisfied. Let me tell you something. Here's the role of the shepherd. The role of the shepherd is to position the sheep to make sure that all their needs are met. The role of the shepherd is to get you to a place that you feel like all my needs, and now that all my needs are rest, and now that I have this shepherd watching over me, I can truly have peace in my life. I can truly have rest in all of my life. That's the role of this shepherd. And it's a trust thing. It comes down to, do we trust, truly trust our heavenly shepherd? We are frustrated with the unknown. Some of us are frustrated with the disappointments we've experienced in our lives. Some of us are frustrated now just with the simplicity of confusion. And I want you to hear me this morning. You can rest today knowing that you have a good shepherd. And here's what that good shepherd promises you. It's scriptural. It's in the Bible. It says this, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. So it might seem like your life is unsure. It may seem like tomorrow for you is really unsure. But hear me today, this morning, our good shepherd has satisfied all of your needs according to his wonderful riches. Why? Again, because we have a good shepherd. And so he reminds us, he wants us to rest, and then he makes this amazing statement at the end of verse 2, right? He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Now, when I was a kid in Sunday school, when they had the felt board up in front of me, like that all made perfect sense. Like when we read the scripture and we think of the green pastures, it maybe reminds us of the sound of music, right? Like this beautiful green field where these little sheep are twirling around on their back legs and running through, relaxing. It's beautiful. There's this beautiful music playing. It all made sense to me. But I realized where David lived, what Bethlehem really is. The place where David actually wrote this psalm and wrote many of those other psalms, and where he cared for his sheep. When I realized what it really is, it's a desert. This is literally Bethlehem right here. It's a desert. This is where the shepherds literally would watch their sheep. These are the fields they walked them in and walked them around. This was the actual place. This is actually Bethlehem, the land where he would walk around, where he would take care of his sheep. This is what it looks like. Here's what I realize. There's a lot of land. I see a lot of things in this video I just watched. But you know what I don't see? I don't see a single green pasture. I don't see a single green pasture. Because that's what was in the land right back there. Green pastures were not the norm. It was a desert climate. Hear me this morning. Green pastures had to be developed by a shepherd intentionally cultivating it, making it for his sheep. So what a good shepherd would do is he would lead his sheep to a place that he has prepared for them. A place that he has put the work in and put the effort in. A place that he's literally prepared for them to be. That in the middle of an area that is dry and broken and frustrated, a shepherd would know, if I've worked some ground, I've taken what was useless and I made it useful for my sheep. As we close this morning, let me declare it over your life today. Your area might look broken. Your area might look impossible. Your area of life might look dry. It might look unrepairable. In fact, some of you, your area of life may even look dead. But there's good news. You have a shepherd that's been working in that area. You have a shepherd who's been working in that area, and what looks dead, he turns it into green pastures. What looks impossible and unrepairable, he restores it to green pastures. A place for you to find rest, a place for you to find hope and peace and purpose, a place of restoration. And you will be able to look back in the midst of your time, in the midst of your wandering, in the midst of all the confusion in your life, and you'll be able to look back and say, my shepherd provided a place for me. A place of hope and rest, a place of peace. And I want to say to you this morning, only God can do that for you. Only this good shepherd can do that for you. A person can't do that for you. A status can't do that for you. Hope or this fulfillment the world wants to offer you, it can't do it for you. Those things will always fail. But the green pasture that the good shepherd has prepared for you is a place of sustainability. You know what? It's a place that will always, always provide for you, have abundance for you, and a place that even in the midst of the most difficult seasons, you will have rest. You'll have rest. Would you stand with me this morning as we close out? Hear me this morning. We're going to worship. I'm so thankful this morning for a church that we operate not for rest, but we from a position of rest. That knowing that God knows that when you're at a place when you've drawn the line and said, hey, listen, I want to do life with God, I can't do life with God. When you get to a place where you say, I know that God has good plans for me, when we get to that place, then we have rest. We can start from that place of rest. Hey, God's got good plans for me. God can use me. God's got destiny. God's got purpose. He's got good things for my life. We start from that position of rest, and everything else flows from that. When we can have peace, when there's no longer friction in our life, there's no longer fear in our lives, when we feel like we've been provided for, we're satisfied, when we feel like all the conflict has been removed, when all those things are gone, when the pests and the small things that are just eating away of us, when we start from that position of knowing, look, I've got a good shepherd, in spite of it all, we can have peace and we can have rest. We have nothing to worry about. I just speak in your life this, man. It's like you can't turn on a TV without somebody telling you what to believe. You can't turn on the TV without somebody telling you this is the person who will take care of you. This is the person in our world that has your best interest. And I'm here to tell you today, there's nobody that has your best interest except for this good shepherd. And his name is Jesus Christ, right? He has good plans for you. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Some of you need that today. You need God to just give you that rest and that peace in your heart and your life. And he wants to provide that for you. So Father, right now, before we worship you, we just ask, invite you to be in the midst of us this morning. You are in the midst of this place. And we have a good shepherd. We don't have to have question that. We don't have to doubt that. You start in the midst of David having fear and worry and unknown and all those things that were flooding his life. He starts it out with, my God gives me rest. He gives me peace. He gives me that hope. And I want us in this church to start from that position. That position of knowing that God is for us. He's not against us. That he has good plans for us. That he has good things for us. And we can start from that position of peace and rest today. So in these moments before we close, Lord, we as a church take a moment and we worship you and we exalt you and we allow you to speak into our lives. In Jesus' name.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.
let God flood you with peace and rest. Praying for you, I pray that your fear would be removed in Jesus' name. I pray that friction would be removed in Jesus' name. I pray the pests, the small things that have attacked your life, the small things that you've allowed into your life, that God would be removed in the name of Jesus. I pray for some of you that feel like God hasn't provided for you. You feel like your life is empty. I pray that you would understand the provision, that God would fill you up in the name of Jesus Christ. The shepherd is here, and he's in our midst. He wants to remove the fear. He wants to remove the friction. He wants to remove the pests. He wants to remove those things that feel like that the provision that you seem like is lacking over your life. He wants to remove all those things because he's a good shepherd. So, Lord, I pray over today at your church. I lift them up in all those areas of life where we feel like we don't have rest. Maybe one of those four things have kept us from experiencing rest. So today I pray in the name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit would be in the midst of us. And the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead now dwells in us. And may you endue us with power, with a sound mind, with the understanding that we aren't crippled, we aren't defenseless, we have a good shepherd who stands over our lives. And he brings hope this morning. He brings peace this morning. And he brings rest this morning. And I pray that over your people today. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, one last thing I would say is maybe you're here this morning. And as David said, he made that prayer, God, search me, O Lord. And you're here this morning, you feel like God is searching you. And you're at a place of disconnection with the Lord. Like you, he searched your heart and you feel like we are disconnected. And God wants to bring you together. Maybe it comes to a place where you just need to say, Lord, I want to invite you in my heart. I want to live my life completely and fully for you. If that's you this morning, you're at that place like, I want to just say, God, here's my life. I give it to you. I need a good shepherd leading the way in my life. If that's you this morning, look right where you are. You know, our heads are bowed, right? We're not looking at you. This is a private moment. But if you're here and you're making that statement, I want to give my life completely to God. Would you just put your hand up, put it down again? I just want to know who I'm praying for. Thank you. Anyone else? Come on. It's your opportunity. Don't miss out on this opportunity. Lord, right now we pray as we raised our hands. Many people said, God, I give you my life. God, search me and know me. I want to live for you. And God, all of us in this room can make that prayer. Lord, come into my life. Renew something. Renew a right spirit, a right mind, a right heart. Lord, draw me to you. I want that for my life. If we're here this morning and that's you, you just say that prayer. Just, Lord, come into my life. I give my life to you. My life belongs to you. I need the good shepherd. And Lord, so may it be done because you are a good, good Father and you love us. So Lord, I pray blessings over your people today. Lord, I pray your face would shine upon them. And Lord, you would strengthen us today. And may we walk out of this room, first of all, knowing that I have my shepherd, that you are personal in our lives. And then may we know, God, that you have want to lie us down in those green pastures. You want to bring that peace and rest into our spirit and into our world. We thank you for it. So you're a good God. So everyone who's facing things, whether it be physical, maybe there's issues in their lives, maybe there's decisions that need to be made, I pray over them today. That, Lord, that you would be their God, and that there would be rest in our church like never before. Because we realize today we have a good shepherd. We love you and we honor you in Jesus' name. And everyone said together, amen, amen. Come on, let's give it up to God today. He's worthy of our praise. Hey, before you take off, we want to do something in this culture we're setting. If you're here this morning, maybe you made that statement for the first time. You raised your hands. I want to give my life to the Lord. Or maybe you're here and you just want prayer. We have a little corner over here where some of our staff and our prayer team will be here. If you want to make your way at the end of the service over to one of them, we're happy to pray with you. If you made a decision today and we just want to know about it, we want to pray with you, just make your way over there. We're here. We'll spend as much time with you as we can praying with you. Also, secondly, if you are visiting today or you are new to our church, my wife and I would love to just greet you and say hello. We'll be right down over here by this piano, and we'd love to say hi to you. Other than that, enjoy the rain, all right? So, come on. Have a great week. We look forward to Wednesday night. Start back up this week. We'll see you Wednesday night, and we'll see you next Sunday. God bless you.